I'm in the final stages of writing my next book, it's coming out in October. It's called Dude, Where's My Country? And I wrote a chapter yesterday, and I thought, geez, if you'd like to be the first people to hear these words, I'd like to. Do you mind? It's called The United States of Boo. They call it a war on terror. How exactly do you conduct a war on a noun? Wars are fought against countries, religions, peoples. They are not fought against nouns or problems. Anytime that's been attempted, the war on drugs, the war on poverty, it fails. Our leaders would have us believe this is a guerrilla war fought by thousands of foreign terrorists on our soil. But this is not what is taking place, and it's time to do a reality check. About once every 2 years, Americans are targets of an act of terror. First the African embassies, then the USS Cole, then September 11th. That's it, since 1998, so we're about due for another one. What this translates into is that in the year 2000, your chances of as an American of being killed in a terrorist attack in the United States was exactly zero. In 2002, your chances of dying in a terrorist incident in the U.S. was zero. So far in 2003, zero. Even in the tragic year of 2001, your chance as an American of dying in an act of terrorism was 1 in 150,000. In 2001, you had a far greater chance of dying from the flu or pneumonia, 1 in 4,000, from taking your own life, 1 in 10,000, being a homicide victim, 1 in 35,000, or riding in a car, 1 in 5,000. But no one freaked out over the possibility of being killed every time you drove in your dangerous car to buy a heart disease-inducing donut from a coughing teenager. The suicide rate alone means that you were a greater danger to yourself than any terrorist. All these causes of death were far greater than terrorism, but there were no laws passed, no countries were bombed, no emergency expenditures of billions of dollars, no National Guard units dispatched, no orange alerts, no nonstop ticker scrolling details across the bottom of CNN to send you into a panic. There was no response from the public but indifference or denial, and at best, acceptance that these tragedies are just part of life. But when multiple deaths happened at the same time with such viciousness and on live TV as they did on that day, no rationalization with statistics can undo the damage done to the American psyche. We've come to believe that we are in harm's way, that any of us anywhere in this vast country could die at any time. Never mind the chances of that happening are virtually nil. A mass psychosis has gripped the country. I'm part of it. You're a part of it. You, the Americans. And even high-ranking generals who now weep openly are part of it. Irrational fear is a killer. It throws off our survival compass. It makes us reach for a gun when we hear a noise in the middle of the night and you end up shooting your wife who was just on her way to the bathroom. It makes us not want to live near someone of another race. And it allows us to willingly give up the civil liberties we've enjoyed for over 200 years simply because our leader says there is a terrorist threat. These are some of the terror alerts that have been issued recently in the United States. And these, I'm quoting, these are real. Watch out for model airplanes packed with explosives. Hobby shops should be checked. People buying model airplanes, the little tiny airplanes, it could fly it with a little bunch of bag of C4 into a building and blow it up. People may be lurking near train tracks preparing to derail trains. Look for suspicious people lingering too long near gas stations. Al-Qaeda may be setting the forest fires out west. And it goes on and on and on. Boy, those terrorists sure are busy. Explosive model airplanes, forest fires, lions, tigers, bears. The boogeyman is coming to get me. Run for your lives. The only thing that is more amazing than this phony game of poof is our ability to fall for it. What happened to our basic common sense? You know, that reflex in your brain that used to make you scream bullshit when you were confronted with such obvious nonsense? That's what happens when your fear radar is out of whack. You become so discombobulated, you can't distinguish any longer between the real and the unreal. Why has our government gone to such absurd lengths to convince us that our lives are in danger? The answer is nothing short of their feverish desire to rule the world. First by controlling us, and in turn getting us to support their efforts to dominate the rest of this planet. Sounds crazy, huh? It reads more like a movie script, doesn't it? But Bush, Cheney, Ashcroft, Wall Street, Fortune 500, they see this post 9/11 America in fear as their moment. A moment handed to them by fate, via the terrorists, to seize the reins and ram the USA down the throats of any people in the world who dare question who is number one. Who is number one? I said, who is number one? That's right. Say it loud. Say it for George and Dick and John and Condi. We are number one. USA. 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 Yeah. Listen, they know, Bush and these guys, that real Americans are not into dominating anyone. So they have to sell this to us. And they have to sell it inside a package of fear. In order to properly scare us, they need a big bad enemy. With 9/11, Bush and his right-wing hawk buddies have found the enemy that could sell to the public. A war without end. A permanent war. If you get the people to believe in this, they'd let you do anything, just as long as it's in the name of protecting them. This is Bush's version of the old mafia protection racket. There's somebody out there who's going to mess you up. Osama, he did it. Saddam, he did it. Those crazy Ayatollahs, they might do it. North Korea, they will do it. Hello, PLO. We'll protect you. Just give us all your money and all your rights. And keep your trap shut. For the next year, you all are going to hear from Bush about how there's a war going on, a war on terror, a war to liberate and rebuild Iraq, a war against Iranian clerics, a war against North Korean nuclear madmen, a war against Colombian drug lords, a war against extremism, a war against communism in Cuba, a war against Hamas, a war against, and to maintain this endless war, they need endless fear, a fear that can only be extended indefinitely by taking away our basic civil rights. The right wing, they need to keep this war going for as long as possible, because it keeps the people distracted. Everyone, except those who die in a war, loves a good war, especially one you can win quickly. We, good. Them, bad. Them, dead. We win. Cue the cameras. The victorious President of the United States is landing on another aircraft carrier. This is how Bush intends to run his entire re-election campaign. I won you a war. Then I won you another war. But there are more wars, and you need me to win them too. It'll be that old slogan that you shouldn't change a horse in the middle of a stream. I've always thought it was interesting that the mass murder of 9/11 was allegedly committed by a multi-millionaire. Now, we always say that that event that day was committed by a, quote, terrorist, or a, quote, Islamic fundamentalist, or an Arab. But we never define Osama by his rightful title, multimillionaire. We have never read a headline saying 3,000 killed by multimillionaire. It would be a correct headline, wouldn't it? So why haven't we seen it? Osama has assets totaling at least $30 million. He's a multimillionaire. So why isn't that the way we see this person? As a rich fuck who kills people. Why didn't that become the reason for profiling potential terrorists? Instead of rounding up suspicious Arabs, why don't we say, oh my God, a multimillionaire killed 3,000 people. Round up the multimillionaires. Throw them all in jail. No trials. Deport the millionaires. Deport them. suffering from our own multimillionaire corporate terrorists. The ones who rip off our old age pensions, destroy the environment, deplete irreplaceable fossil fuels in the name of profit, deny us our right to universal health care, take people's jobs away whenever the mood hits them. What do you call a doubling of the homeless and the hungry in the last 3 years? Are not these acts of terrorism? Do they not cost lives? Is it not all part of a calculated plan to inflict pain on the poor just so that a few rich men can get even richer? We have our own terrorists to deal with, and we need our entire focus returned to them so that we can one day live in a country where the people once again pick the president, a country where the wealthy learn they have to pay for their actions, a free country, a safe country, a peaceful country that genuinely shares its riches with the less fortunate around the world, a country that believes in everyone getting a fair shake, and where fear is seen as the only thing that we truly need to fear. In this book, I have a number of other chapters. One's called Seven Questions for George of Arabia. And I ask a number of innocent questions.